When I was asked to give a sermonette, I said yes, even though I had no idea what I was going to speak about. Then one morning I woke up to a thunderstorm, and instantly I had my subject. You could say that it came to me in a flash and a bang. So today I want to talk about thunderings and lightnings and how science has taken the awe and wonder out of God's creation. In order to do this, I have 3 points. First, what the world has in times past thought lightning was. Secondly, what science says lightning actually is. And then finally, we'll have a look at how science has taken God out of the picture. When you experience a thunderstorm and lightning bolts hitting the ground and thunder so powerful that you can feel it, and you see the raw power that is released, it's quite easy to understand how the ancient world regarded thunder and lightning as the wrath of the gods. In ancient Egypt, Baal was the god of thunderstorms, called Re-Amin, the Thunderer. The Iroquois had Hinnon, the Thunder God. The Pawnee Indians had, let's see if I can pronounce this one correctly, Hu-Huk, the Thunderbird, which unfortunately has nothing to do with international rescue. The Thunderbird was described as a huge, long-necked bird like a swan, with a forked, jagged tail, and the beating of its wings caused thunder. The Hindu religion had Indra, the god of thunder and lightning. The Celtic nation had Taranis, the god of thunder, who was often depicted with a wheel as well as a thunderbolt. Of course, we can't leave out Thor, the Norse god of thunder and lightning, and for some reason, oak trees, because we all know what lightning can do to an oak tree. And finally, probably the most famous of all lightning gods, the early Greeks believed that lightning was the weapon of Zeus, the king of the gods. The Greeks believed that thunderbolts were invented by Zeus's daughter, Minerva, the goddess of wisdom. Since lightning was the manifestation of the gods, any spot struck by lightning was regarded as sacred, and the Greeks promptly built a temple on it, the spot, and hallowed and worshipped their gods, and probably in the hope that the gods wouldn't strike that spot again. There have also been superstitions about lightning itself. In ancient Rome, the members of the College of Augurs searched the southern skies for lightning. A lightning bolt passing from east to west was a good omen. If it was from west to east, it meant something was wrong with the current political situation. I wonder which way the lightning would be flashing nowadays, probably straight up. As late as the early 1800s in Russia, when rain was wanted, 3 men climbed a tree. One would knock a firebrand together, the sparks imitating lightning. Another one would pour water on twigs, imitating rain. And the third would bang a kettle to attract the thunder. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any record on how effective this was for actually creating a thunderstorm. So what is lightning? Lightning is essentially a giant spark of electricity in the atmosphere between clouds, the air, or the ground. Thunderstorms develop when the atmosphere is unstable. This is when warm air exists underneath much cooler air. As the warm air rises, it cools and condenses, forming small water droplets. If there is enough instability in the air, the updraft of warm air is rapid, and the water vapor quickly forms a cumulonimbus cloud. Typically, it can form in under an hour. As the warm air continues to rise, the water droplets combine to form larger droplets, which freeze to form ice crystals. As a result of circulating air in the clouds, water freezes it to the surface of the droplets. Eventually, these droplets become too heavy to be supported by the updraft, and they fall as hail. As the hail moves within the cloud, it picks up a negative charge by rubbing against smaller, positively charged ice crystals. A negative charge forms at the base of the cloud where the hail collects. While the lighter ice crystals remain near the top of the cloud and create a positive charge. The negative charges are attracted to the Earth's surface and other clouds or objects. When the attraction becomes too strong, the positive and negative charges come together, or discharge, to balance the difference in a flash of lightning. Energy from a lightning channel heats the air briefly to about 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, way hotter than the surface of the sun. This causes the air to explode outwards. This huge pressure wave is what we hear as thunder. The loudness of thunder can be expressed in decibels. A clap of thunder typically registers at about 120 decibels. This is about as loud as a police siren, or the equivalent of sitting right in front of the speakers at a concert. One lightning bolt contains on average 1.2 gigawatts of power. To put that into perspective, that's over 300 million AA batteries. One strike has enough energy to power the whole of London for 12 whole days. If only we could collect the energy. So how has science taken the place of God? For the ancients, thunder and lightning and all other natural occurrences were inextricably linked to God and his natural power. For us today, however, science is there to explain all these phenomena. And as a result, mankind as a whole has lost sight of another reminder of his creator. Did you know, brethren, that even if you don't know the first thing about science, you know more than the entirety of the whole scientific community? We know why. Science can tell us what, it can tell us how, can even tell us when, but not why. What's the purpose? We know this. If you would like to please turn with me to Romans 1, and we'll start in verse 18, we'll see what God has to say about this. So, Romans 1, and we'll read, starting verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. But because futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing them to be wise, they became fools. And if we drop down to verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And finally, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things that are not fitting. Because mankind has rejected God and his ways, he has lost the understanding of the fact that this world was created. He must instead believe that everything evolved by blind chance. Science's ultimate error, a creation without a creator. Mr. Armstrong amplified this in a Plain Truth article from January 1980, prepared to greatly reduce your standards of living. Quote, We have made physical science the new messiah, our false god, which boasted we no longer need to wear the swaddling clothes of superstition or lean on the crutch of religion. Science promised to deliver us from all our troubles, but it has failed utterly and only produced the weapons of mass destruction that can now erase all humanity from the earth. Mr. Armstrong used to say that in the decade of the 60s, the world's fund of knowledge doubled. But all that extra knowledge has not enabled man to harness the power of lightning. We still cannot store the power of one lightning bolt. The average lightning strike is only 0.38 milliseconds, about three times faster than the time it takes you to blink. And we just don't have anything that can absorb that much power that quickly without exploding. If we turn over to Job chapter 38, we'll start reading in verse 25 and find out who the real author of all weather, including thunder and lightnings, really is. This chapter is when God begins to answer Job and really puts him in his place. Verse 25. Who cuts a channel for the torrent of rain and a path for the thunderstorm, to water the land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? And dropping down to verse 33. Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are. Job was a widely respected man of his time and a fantastic builder. But as God made clear to him, anything that man can do is puny compared to what God can do. If you would please turn over to Jeremiah 10, and we'll read verses 10 to 13. Whereas in Job, God was pointing out the greatness of his power compared to man's, here he takes a swipe at all the false gods that man has invented for himself. So Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them this, these gods who did not make the heavens and the earth, will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters of the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightnings with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Jeremiah understood that weather, and thunderstorms in particular, were created and controlled by God. Today, science has shown how thunderstorms happen, but they don't stop to worship or even recognize the one who created the physical laws that control it. Science has shown us what goes on behind the curtain, and the whole trick has been diminished because of it. Because we know how it happens, we don't stop to consider who makes it happen. And so another reminder of the awesome power of God goes unrecognized. So in conclusion, in times gone by, people regarded thunder and lightning and all other weather events as stemming directly from the awe-inspiring power of Almighty God. Today, mankind has science, which has stripped away the awe and left us with nothing but bare facts. And once you've seen how a trick is performed, the whole thing is never as impressive as it once was. Science has taken the gloss of God's creation out, and mankind now has no appreciation or even recognition of the one who created everything, from the smallest microbe to the largest sun. But when Christ returns, all people will learn, as Mr. Armstrong said, who and what God is.